Oh, we had to stop. We had to pause it because the intro's not. I have to start with this video today. Everybody, okay. Stop the presses. Stop the presses. I had to stop everything because this is going to be our new intro for the rest of our lives.
Do you want me to op the show?
No, I really don't. I stopped it on purpose because this is our new intro in perpetuity. Ladies and gentlemen, Lachlan Cross talking about coming on the show today. Here we go.
Yesterday, I was let go by Cruz. That's not a joke, not an early April Fool's Day prank. It's real. I promised a announcement today. I wonder what it means to be let go on leap year. Anyway, the announcement is I'm going to be on the Dean Blundell podcast on Monday. I have been a regular contributor to his podcast over, the last couple of years. He refers to it as my unpaid internship with Cryer Media, and Dean is gracious enough to allow me to continue that with him. So I'm going to be on Monday, and I don't want to sit in a negative place, so I kind of want to do one show, talk about it, get it off my chest, and then move on. So anyway, Cryer Media, you can go to their webpage, cryermedia.co, for any of the links. But you can also find the Dean Blundell Show podcast on any podcast place. Apple, Spotify. I'll put it up on my locker room YouTube page as well. All right. I'm going to take the weekend off. We'll chat next week. And thank you for all the messages. I've been overwhelmed. At about beer four yesterday, I had to stop responding. But I'll try to get back to everybody. All right. Talk to you soon.
There we go. There we go. Now we can officially start the program.
Okay. There we go.
There we go. Okay, let that out of the way. Welcome to the program, now featuring more of us, as Lachlan Cross has been forced into the digital world like the rest of the free universe. Welcome to the program. My name is Dean. Joining me on this program, as always and in perpetuity now, my new intern, we call him the Mantern, Lachlan Cross, who, as you just heard, is no longer employed as a radio host at 957 Cruise FM in Edmonton. You announced that this weekend. How are you, buddy? How are you doing?
I'm good, and I'm surprising the people in my life about how good I am, if we're being honest, because, we'll get into it.
We'll get into it. That's why I asked. Yeah. I'm interviewing you today, so this is not a co-host sitch. This is Dean interviewing his friend Lachlan, because Lachlan is the latest casualty in the war against success in traditional media. So I want to know how you're doing.
I'm doing okay. I am. The initial shock is worn off, and I'll be honest with you. I've known this was coming, and this is not a joke. I met my new boss about 3 months ago on a Zoom call.
Got a vibe.
And I came home and I told my wife, I'm going to get fired.
Yeah.
And listen, a lot of people might hear that and go, well, you did it to yourself. And you know, Dean, you know me well enough to know that I was doing everything that I can, that I could, to figure out what I needed to do to change their mind about that. Mm-hmm. But I was pretty certain and I was doing it not only for myself, but also for the team.
Yeah.
For the locker room.
And Grant, I think, and Jimmy. And I think, you know, it's interesting because Locke, everybody is aware, especially in Edmonton, Alberta, Legacy Morning Show, 9 years at Cruise FM. Excuse me. A little sympathy cough. Yeah, I'm good. Coffee down the wrong hole. So Lachlan on Thursday calls me and he's and listen, this is a big deal. Like, these jobs don't come around all the time, especially in major markets like Edmonton. And so Lachlan is unceremoniously let go. You start that morning show 9 years ago. You take it from its infancy. It's a one share to an 8-9 share. Your top five men, 25-54 adults, 25-54. You did a great job, but in any situation, right? You know when the end is coming, because as you out like for the last 3 months, anytime there's a change of guard, and it's like this for any radio station, any company, they'll want to bring in their own people. They want to impress everybody with their own panache. So you were that casualty. Let me ask you a couple questions. So you go in on Thursday, you do the show. Did you have an inkling it was coming on Thursday? And what was the experience like? I don't mind.
There was a lot of things, and we don't need to get into the details, but there was a lot of things over the last couple of months that gave me an indication that my time was coming to an end, to the point where,
you know, what's interesting is that everybody in that situation, the one indicator, and you and I haven't talked about this, but the one indicator that something is wrong and you need to start looking for another gig or the end might be here is silence, isn't it? Nobody wants to talk to you.
Well, I had done a decent job of sort of keeping a bubble around the show anyway.
Yeah.
So we were fairly functional without a lot of a lot of interaction, right? Mm-hmm. And radio has gone to a point, Dean, you haven't been doing this for a long time. There is the consolidation and the marginalization of this industry. There's like one boss for 4 or 5 radio stations. So there's, you have to learn to live in an environment of a lack of communication because they're too busy. The upper management, the gatekeepers are way too busy. So for me, the silence wasn't it. It was a number of other things. And again, we don't need to get into it, but I literally had everything that was mine out of the building. I had all my stuff. When they asked me if I needed to do anything, like to grab my personal effects, I said, no, I've got everything except a box of dildos, which we used for a bar game called Musical Dildos. I don't want to explain it, but
something you won't hear at a firing at like KPMG. No, I've got everything. I just need to grab that massive box of dildos in the corner there.
We got like 6, like pretty substantially sized dildos, and I had to go grab that box and walk out with that.
So, because listen, I'll take you through the and let me ask you if you're
by the way, Musical Dildos is a fun game.
It's a great game. I don't know if you've seen it, but hopefully we'll bring it back on this program. What happens is when you get fired, usually specifically in radio, they will wait until the second you get off the radio. Mm-hmm. So, your show's done at 9 o'clock, they'll walk down, meet you at the studio station. They got
just stressful.
I got a couple of HR people in the boardroom, and then you've got like a gopher that comes and gets you at the door, and then they walk you into a boardroom, and all of a sudden everybody's temperature is up to 12 because no one can predict what's coming next. Was it like that for you? Is that what happened?
No, I knew. I knew exactly.
No, but did someone come and grab you as soon as you walked out of the studio?
Yeah, the guy that fired me came and grabbed me. Yeah.
Did he really?
Yeah.
Was he nice about it? Was he good about it at least?
Yeah. I mean, it's a difficult situation, right?
Yeah.
You know what? I want to start with a couple of positive things, right? We're going to talk about the state of the industry, so we'll get into it. But I think people that are in our shoes, before I get into the positive start that I wanted to highlight, I think the thing that people need to realize about where we sit is that the gatekeepers are just as scared about where the industry is at right now as everybody that's creating content. Like it's across the board. Sales is scared, creative teams are scared, like everybody involved in this industry right now is scared because of what's been going on the last 20 plus years, right? With the consolidation, with the marginalization, the voice tracks, and we're going to do more with less, and yeah. You hear all these things, and everyone is concerned. I told you this on the phone. I've heard from a number of people, surprisingly, from the company that just let me go, and I'm not making this up, half at some point in the back and forth said, you know what, we're just waiting for the other shoe to drop. I don't think I'm going to be here long. And that's not just my company. That's everybody in the business is dealing with that. You can hear it on the airwaves when you're listening. Mm-hmm. But what I wanted to start with was, I am unbelievably proud of what we accomplished in Edmonton with the locker room. And I could not have done it without Grant and Jimmy. Man, we were so lucky to get to do what we did for the last, you know, it was, we had such a good show. We had one of the best shows in the country, Dean.
Mm-hmm.
And, mm-hmm. and we had unbelievable chemistry. And we got along. And here's the other thing. And this is something that doesn't happen a lot and is happening less and less in our industry. I got to go into work every day and do the show that I wanted to do, do the show from my perspective. We were nothing but ourselves every day that we cracked a mic.
Mm-hmm.
And that's rare in this business.
Mm-hmm.
I got a note from a broadcaster who said, this is a really good, and he's thinking, he's giving me advice that I'll take on to my next job. He says to me, he goes, this is great time for you, Locke, to reinvent yourself, to make yourself more marketable for the next company that grabs you. That's how everybody in this business thinks, Dean. We've lost this ability to be ourselves in this environment, in this industry now, because everyone's scared about what that means. Mm-hmm. So we're desperately trying to find some version of ourselves that is marketable for the company. That's the wrong way to think about this.
Mm.
That's why we're in so much trouble.
Mm. Trying to put a square peg in a round hole, to your point. Yeah. And you know what? It's funny because everybody has advice for you when you get fired, to your point.
Yeah. Yeah,
where they'll tell you, oh, here's,
I don't mind that advice. I'll ignore it.
A lot of it. If you've ever tried to give Lachlan advice, you know why. It's funny. But it's nice that people reached out to you, right? It's nice that everybody's trying to give you advice and trying to tell you what to do. But, you know, you're in a situation that a lot of broadcasters are in. And let's transpose this back to the industry, right?
Mm-hmm.
Is that you took that personally, even though you shouldn't. Everybody takes getting fired personally. You look at yourself and you go, well, listen, this is failure. It's not. It's systemic. It's a problem with the industry and the economy of radio. And I want to ask you that question. You know, 40, 54 now, right? With 31, 32 years in the industry.
Yeah, I started volunteering. I did a weekend blues show at the campus radio station, C-Jive, in Vancouver at SFU on the Hill.
Okay.
That so was the summer of 1991.
1991. So you got 33 years in this industry, right?
Well, thanks for doing the math.
You're welcome. I'm really good at simple math, really bad at math that includes anything with an integer. Just letting you know, don't ask me to do integers or ratios. I'm lost. Or the value of X. I'll never be able to find the value of X, C, or Y, ever. But you're 33 years in. You're 54. Do you see, because of when you can look back and you can kind of, you know, measure the way that radio has gone, you can see the diminishing return. You can see people who are really good at your job, like you, who was very good at your job, top five in the market, resurrected or really put that radio station on the map over the past 9 years.
Yes, we did. I don't think it's egotistical of me to say that.
You did it.
We built a brand. The locker room brand is a strong brand in this market.
Absolutely. But the question I have for you is, I think the question I would ask anybody, Stuntman Stu, who got let go in that big bell purge. I mean, you're one person. That was 4,800
people. 4,800
people,
Dean.
Boom. Do you have faith that you want to get back into the industry, or are you done letting other people decide your fate? Because that's not an industry that, as we're talking about, you can have a lot of confidence in, that you're going to have a long career if you're going to go and work for any of these broadcasters. And listen, these broadcasters, Harvard, Bell, Rogers, Stingray, all of them are doing the same thing. They're trying to find a template where they can remain somewhat revenue positive, right? So this isn't a personal thing. You can't take this personally. This is what I'm saying. But do you have any faith that there's room for you in that industry anymore?
Well, the first thing I think I'd like to say is, and you always throw the stoic shit at me, which is fine. God love you. But I think if you get fired and you don't take it personally, you might be.
The Dean Blundell Show is brought to you by FactCheck.io. FactCheck.io, makers of the world's most comprehensive fact-checking software. that have been very busy building some software so that you can fact check anything that you read. It doesn't matter if it's got a URL, you'll be able to fact check it. Alternative sources, origins, whether or not it was an organic or inorganic campaign, whether or not you can trust the people that are putting out the information so that you can give yourself agency over information in the age of disinformation. Again, want to beta test their product? They're going to launch it in the next month or two. Go to factcheck.io today. FACTCHEK.io. Back to the show.
You might be a lunatic. It's
you might,
just
you might have like a sociopathic disorder.
Yes. You should take it personally.
Absolutely. Well, and here's the thing. And the reason why radio people
I was upset fired
personally. Well, I'll tell you something. It's because you put the best of yourself into your personality.
I bleed for these companies, man.
When you're an accountant and you're trying to like balance a ledger for KPMG or MNP, or if you're some kind of researcher for Deloitte, you don't take that personally. You're just putting numbers on a sheet of paper. When you're doing radio, television, when you get print, you're putting your passion, yourself,
yes,
your best version of yourself into what you're doing. So, of course, you're going to take it personally in this industry. But
okay, now,
do you any future for yourself in this industry anymore?
Well, listen, I'm either going to do something like this or I'm going to work at Denny's. There's not a lot of paths for old Locker. I haven't got a lot of skills outside of this.
Not a lot of transferable skills.
Can I tell everybody about myself? Like a little bit about myself?
Sure, hey, yeah.
Like I'm wildly loyal. I'm an introvert. I'm way too honest. And I'm also a little too quick to judge people. So I'll put you in a box. And I've been working on that for a long, long time. And that creates a certain type of person that might not be the easiest to work with in a group setting. Okay. And I was very lucky in my career, if I'm being honest, because I was kind of isolated and I did it to myself. I'm self-aware enough to realize that I am part of the problem. I'm not blaming all of the things that happened to me in my career on everybody else. And you know that about me, Dean. I've tried to find ways to figure out what it is that I've been doing and why I'm part of the, you know, the problem and not part of the solution and a lot of the things that have happened to me. Mm. And when I started in Winnipeg at Power, Winnipeg was ignored because we were a small market, comparatively speaking, to the other markets that the company I worked for was dealing with. Mm. Then I came to the Bear and I was wildly ignored because there were so many issues with the morning show at the time. Right. So they were hyper focused on trying to get that thing was coming to the end of its runway. And they just sort of let me do what I did. And then here at Cruise, similar situation. We, because of the environment, because of what this company has been going through in the last 9-10 years, we were largely ignored. Everything we did and accomplished was us. They threw a couple of bucks at us for, you know, for contesting and for marketing, but largely what we built, we did on our own. And I benefited from that. Right. Mm-hmm. And so when you're asking me about whether or not I think I'll get back into the industry, I don't know. I'm going to be very particular about the next steps, the next decision that I make, because I'm used to that environment. Is that fair?
Yeah. Oh, totally fair. I mean, listen, when you leave that industry, specifically if you're good at that job, you know, and you watch the economy around that job kind of crumble, and like you say, you're trying to put a bubble over the show, not pay attention to the economy of radio, the diminishing return, the anxiety.
We treated our own show like our own radio station,
as you should, right? Like everybody else did. And you should do that. You shouldn't be doing a job for your program director. You shouldn't be doing a job for your boss. You should be doing the very best job you can do to stay employed, which
for
you
the listeners,
did, right? Which you did, which is why you had a very highly rated, very successful morning show. Really the only good rock and roll radio show left in this country, if you ask me. So when you look at that and you think to yourself, because this is how I look at it, and that's why I'm asking you this question, is I look at the preventative nature of that business now. You know, you said you got to do a show that was your show, that was you, intensely the people on the show. The way that radio is gone is now it is becoming a liner-driven business, meaning you have to be able to give the information the radio station wants you to be able to give and not step outside that. The days of people co-opting a personality, saying we want you to be the very best version of yourself, we want you to do that here for us, we'll collect all the ratings and the money, and you just go do a great job. Those days are over. That's the culture that you're talking about that was a lot of fun. And if you can repeat that environment somewhere else, God bless you. I think you might be able to do it in the United States. But I truly believe this to be true. And this is why I asked you the question, is that in Canada, they're not looking for people who are really good at radio. They're looking for placeholders. They're looking for someone to be able to kind of, they can trust to be able to do a decent job. Someone that will just deliver the things that the radio station and the company that owns the radio station wants you to do, whether it be cell phone liners or cable, you know, to get more shock, whatever the deal is. They want you to do those things. So they've realized that radio is what it is, which is a diminishing asset. So when you are in the business, as you were up until Thursday, and you can see all that around you, and you've got an opportunity to make an exit and do your own thing, should someone else call you and say, hey, listen, put your faith in us, we're going to be fine, does that give you pause at this point of your career at 54? Pause.
Well,
to go,
I've already had.
I don't know if I'm going to put my.
I've already had a couple of job offers.
Yeah, I know.
That's why I'm asking. I don't know. I got to think about it. I really do. And I'm going to take some time before I make a decision.
Listen, the industry itself is sick. It's not the companies. It's the people in that industry.
Let's dig into that a little bit, because I think that's worth the conversation. And I've had lots of time over the last couple of years to actually digest that. Okay. First off, there are exceptions to the rule. I don't think the entire industry is what we just said it was. I want to say that out loud.
And I also support in this country.
It is, but I also think there are people out there that give a crap about this business and they actually go into work every day to try to actually put it on a decent show. They're not going into work every day to just read liners. But I will say this, you got to be it, man, if you're doing a market, if you're doing six markets, you're doing voice tracks, I don't know how you get excited about that. I don't know how you find a way to engage an audience if that's your gig every day. So the industry is in trouble for a variety of reasons. Okay. So, and again, we talked about the consolidation, the marginalization, the voice tracks, the program directors doing four radio stations, getting rid of leadership. So they've done it to themselves, right? In an attempt, because the big companies that bought up all these smaller like companies and became these behemoths were doing it for assets. So, and they were doing it to milk as much money as they possibly could out of it.
Yeah. Profit and, take for free advertising. Yeah,
absolutely. So over that time, what ended up happening is ratings and revenue kept going down. Now that wasn't the sole reason for it. The industry has also been segmented. There's a lot more things for ears and eyeballs to gravitate towards. So the money
content,
is also
right? Like shit like this. Yeah.
So the money has also been spread out. And
AdSense,
then
Meta. Yeah.
So add insult to injury. They're also firing a lot of these content creators that are pulling eyes and ears away from traditional radio. And I think traditional radio and traditional media as a whole has done a lot of damage to its reputation. So you got people now that are just listeners, just consumers seeking out alternatives. So we're in this really bad cycle.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're in the business, the companies are all following this major bit, like the major company template of slash and burn.
Yeah,
so
cut profitability, right? The goal is to cut the profitability, get those margins up for something.
Yeah, and that for a something sale or is, whatever. It doesn't matter what it is.
Yeah.
And so you're the people that you have left working in the business are going into work scared every day. And it's not easy when, and listen, I've been doing it for the last 3 months. It's not easy to go into work every day and try to create content when you know that there's a chance you're going to get fired. So the thing that drives me crazy is I think there's still a lot of people left in the business that know what they need to do to save it. And it's between the records. And it's creating an environment where the jocks, your content creators, the people that work in the building that are trying
free
to do
and confident to create. Yeah.
Yes. and giving something for the salespeople to actually sell, mm-hmm. right? And giving them something to get excited about. Except the problem with that is that's the harder path. If you're at the fork in the road, the easier thing is slash and burn, cut the big salaries, hope that you make some semblance of profit for whatever reason. The harder path is to create an industry, a radio station, whatever, where everyone is excited about coming into work today. Mm-hmm. And then the audience can hear it. Like, here's the other thing. This is not just happening to people that talk on these things. It's happening to sales departments, right? They're slashing and burn. So you're losing these relationships. And that's what this thing, this job, this industry is all about, relationships. And if you kill those relationships, you're going to lose those dollars, because a lot of times those dollars are tied to those damn relationships, Dean.
And the people that get the ratings that hold those relationships, you know, it's fascinating that this business doesn't consider the collateral damage of their decision-making. You know what I mean? Like, it's one of those.
I think they do. I just think it's the easy way out.
Totally. It's like, hey, listen, are we going to do a great job of finding great talent? Are we going to do a great job of reinventing the content, selling the content? Are we going to do a great job of finding different buckets of revenue to be able to match traditional with digital? Those aren't the conversations that they have, right, in traditional media. The conversations they have are, ooh, how many people can we get rid of and use AI for? Number one, now. Number two, it's, ooh, how can we be as lean as humanly possible to get rid of these dead technology assets? That's what they're trying to do in that industry, right? And to that point is, and we digitize traditional media for sale. We do programmatic direct ads. We do all the stuff that radio asks the digital world for. So we do that for people. And in these conversations I have with these people, they all have said the same thing. It's like, they are literally big, big radio companies in Canada right now. And I talk to guys that are facilitating these deals. They're trying to make radio stations and those media outlets as lean as humanly possible ahead of getting rid of those assets, because they've squeezed all the profit out of them and they know the technology is gone now. Like, they don't care to do that work that you point out of, well, how can we use this? How can we give a different purpose so that we can use it as a free megaphone or funnel for business into our ecosystem? They just don't do that, to your point.
Right? Well, I think the other issue too is we're dealing with a situation where these companies, you got guys that are left in them that still remember how much money they used to make. Mm-hmm. So now they're not willing to settle on the money that they're making now. It mm-hmm. just isn't good enough. So we need to make changes to get the profits up. Okay. And so that's a problem. The other problem is, and I think you nailed it, is that a lot of these gatekeepers are having conversations amongst themselves about the longevity of radio, terrestrial radio as a whole.
Yeah.
They've lost faith in it. So if they've lost faith in it, are they going to do the hard work that it might take to revitalize it?
And I don't think it's, but I don't think it's ever going to, I don't think it has the capacity. So if you ask me,
that's where you're wrong. Give me one radio station and let me do what I want with it. And don't worry about profits. Just give me 3 years.
Those words,
I can make a ton of money.
Those words you just uttered will never endear you to a company to say, here's a radio station lock. Don't worry about money. That's the only thing they're worried
about. That's the problem. Yeah. We worry about money. And that's
what makes the world go around. Totally, dude. Like, anytime there's a season for everything. Unfortunately, God bless Marconi, season for radio's done. Season for TV's done. Season for print's done. It doesn't mean they don't have a cool, cute niche in the world of communication and entertainment. That's not what I'm saying.
Yeah.
But it's done, man. Like, they fired you on Thursday and you're very, very, very successful. Listen, you don't fire successful people to get you paid. You keep incentivizing them and you keep them going and you build a bubble around them so they can continue to make money for you, right? They didn't do that.
But I was just one.
I know.
one cog in the wheel.
Stuntman Stu, Ottawa, same thing. Successful, great ratings. You make too much money. And this business, we want to send a message. We're done with all the bullshit. We're done with all the... And I mean, dude, let me liken it to something else, right? Someone asked me about Cryer Media. They're like, you know, what's the workload like? I'm like, it's crazy. You know that. It's insane. You got people, you've got algorithms, you've got social media, you've got monetization, you've got content, you've got micro, you got all this out, you got audio, you've got programmatic, direct, you got all these things you got to keep on. And then you got to deal with weird personalities and stuff. And then we've got a couple of other businesses on the side that require none of those things. And I'm like, you know, what do I... Like, where do I spend my time? Well, you spend... As always, the Dean Blundell Show is brought to you by our friends at FactCheck.io. FactCheck.io. Do you believe? The good people at FactCheck are a quorum of software professionals, psychological professionals, journalists that have been very busy building some software so that you can fact-check anything that you read. It doesn't matter. If it's got a URL, you'll be able to fact-check it. Alternative sources, origins, whether or not it was an organic or inorganic campaign, whether or not you can trust the people that are putting out the information, and alternative sources, and there's going to be a weapon button too, where you can turn that information around and put it back out there accurately to combat disinformation. The good people at factcheck.io are right now testing their beta version of their free program. Yes, it will be free for anybody who wants to use it. They want to battle disinformation because it is a problem. Go to factcheck.io today. FACTCHEK.io. FACTCHEK.io. The world's most robust fact-checking disinformation software for news, social media, video, print, anything spoken word. These people are on the tip. And they use some of the finest software technology to be able to give you the advantage when it comes to getting agency back in your life, when it comes to information that you read. Go to factcheck.io today for more information. Sign up for their beta test, FACTCHEK.io. Your time on the things that are more profitable that cause you fewer headaches. Right now, radio is a massive headache for
anybody. It's a great analogy.
Radio is a massive headache for anybody that owns them. Like, take Harvard, for example.
And the people that are left are in charge of so much. It's overwhelming.
Totally, dude.
Right? Yeah.
So they've taxed all these people with 40 jobs for one person because the economy of radio stinks. People that owned it are like, we got to get out of the business. They're not bad people. Like, Bell's a bad company. Rogers is a bad company. You know,
I don't know about that. I think
they are. They're bad companies. Well, Rogers is less of a bad company than Bell. Bell is a fucking terrible company that treats people like absolute shit. And then they put up these environmental commercials. It's like, we're Bell. We like electric cars. You're like, yeah, you better put that up because you can't do anything else. And you fire people after taking money from the government to pay them, you dicks. So bottom line is that, you know, you got variations of these companies, but what you're suffering through is what everybody's suffering through in that industry, which is on-demand content, man. They haven't decided to be part of the game. They've decided to fight against it. The wave went right over top of them, took them all out to sea, and they're all going, it's nice in here. No, it's not. It's terrible in there. It's a terrible thing to do. And so to your point, and that's why I asked you if you'd do it again, it's not a healthy industry. And I don't think people should be getting involved in it if you want to have a long career where your work, like the excellence of your work, and you were excellent. You still are one of the best radio guys in this country. And I mean that from the bottom of my heart.
I appreciate that. But
any station would be lucky to have a guy with your panache, someone that can drive audience, someone that can get ratings, someone that can connect with a community like you do. That was the game back then. It's no longer the game. And that should tell you everything you need to know about the people that own these assets that don't want anything to do with them being successful anymore. Because it's just too much work, dude.
Yeah.
And it's sad.
It's sad.
It's totally sad. But in your case, Harvard is owned by a very, very wealthy family who look at the return on the broadcasting side and go, listen, for fun and influence, we'll keep a couple of these things. It makes no sense to stay in the radio game if you own bricks and mortar and licenses and you got to pay fees and the return continues to go down by 10 to 15% every year and you're watching digital go up. All these radio companies and media,
they're all doing the same thing.
Totally.
They're all doing the same thing. They're all looking at the revenue coming in and they're making tough decisions. And you're right. At the top of this discussion, you said you can't take it personally, Locke, even though it's hard not to. And that's what I've been trying to do. I've been trying to separate my own feelings from this and have a look at it from where the business is right now. And I do have some advice from people for people just based on what I've gone through in my career. I got lucky. I got a call from this guy, Dean Blundell, who wanted me, like, it's been over 2 years now, Dean, we've been doing the podcast, and you wanted me to jump on, and I did, and we had instant chemistry, and I have learned so much more about this industry, and I've become a better broadcaster because of my relationship with you and doing this podcast. We're going to do it on a more regular basis. And you've agreed to do that because you realize that I will lose my mind if I'm not doing something. So I appreciate that. I might be a bit manic. And I think that's the one piece of advice that I can give everybody is you have to explore this other medium, the other alternatives. And I listen, if you're really passionate about cooking or Star Wars or whatever it is, I don't care. Find a way to create content and get it out there, because this is something too that doesn't get talked about a lot. The gatekeepers, the ones that are making these decisions, these tough decisions for these radio companies to try to squeeze any amount of profit out of these radio stations, they're aware of something and they might not vocalize it, but the audience is right there. It's right there. It's at your fingertips. Brands like The Locker Room and Lachlan Cross and Dean Blundell don't need the gatekeepers anymore to reach an audience. Mm-mm. And that's also adding to the issues of traditional media, right?
Yeah, I left that part out. But to your point, and that is a great, great point. And it's wrapped up in advice, right? Which is get busy creating your own brand. Listen, Lachlan's 100% correct, everybody. And I mean that from the bottom of my heart. I'm living proof of it, so is he. Is that you don't need an intermediary of an employer to be able to communicate with people, build your brand, or more importantly, do the content that you're super passionate about, yeah. Right? We have a rule at Cryer Media, and that rule is we don't get in the way of your shit. I don't want to work with people because I want to tell them what to do so we can have a bunch of me. I want to work with people who are way better at their stuff than I would be.
Bring your passion to us.
Stay away from that. Yeah. I want to stay away from your passion. I want to allow you to work. I want to allow you to breathe. I want you to go and make money. We want you to go and have 12 jobs. We want you to have 15 clients. We want to help you make that money because that's good for us, right? Radio stations, media companies, they don't want what's good for you. They want what's good for their shareholders so they can pay them dividends. So you're a number on a sheet, right? Here at Cryer Media, Lachlan's a human being who's got a ton of road in front of him, and he wants to do great content, and he wants to feel purpose, and he wants to have a great experience doing what he's passionate about, that he's one of the best in the country doing. I got lots of space for guys like that. Everybody should, right? Everybody should, mm-hmm. But they don't because they're not interested in the people, and I cannot stress that enough. We're in the people business, man. That's the only way to be successful is to grab people like this and go, come with me. We found solutions. You can give us solutions. Let's match up our skills and our effort and our desire to go out and fuel our success together.
Yeah.
That is this space. The other space is, fuck you, fuck that, fuck this. I don't care about that. You're not important to the process. This is a dead industry. We want real money. We're not interested in giving you a paycheck. What we're really interested in is paying dividends and making sure that people that own this company get a big fat $1 million bonus each for Christmas.
Again, I still think there are people out there that get how to fix it. They're just maybe not brave enough to stick their hand up and go, I got an idea.
I haven't met them yet.
I still think there are people left in the industry that know that what's happening between the records is going to save the business.
Good content. Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway, dude, I'm really proud of you. You had a great run.
I did. I'm not unhappy about my situation. I'm not. I swear. Getting fired is not easy, but dealing with what I was dealing with
fired?
The last 3 months
I think
was
you were just
stressful.
Downsized.
I was downsized, let go, shit canned. Yeah. I think shit canned actually is the best way of describing what happened to me.
Dude, the tweet you put out, as soon as you put it out, my significant other, who is an executive, sends me a note, and she's like, that's an interesting way to thank your employer for the years of employment and endear yourself to an audience. I'm like, it's Lachlan Cross. He's never going to change. Your tweet, Cruz shit canned me today. I plan on getting drunk tonight, sleeping in. Watch for an announcement.
But wait, hold on. Here's the thing. Listen, I appreciate the opportunity that I had over the last 9 years.
Yeah, totally.
And like you said, they paid me well.
Yes,
and I got a chance to build a brand.
Working relationship. You offered a service. They paid you for the service, and then they said, we don't want you doing the service.
Let me go. You're not going to see me write a 7-page Facebook
44 thread tweet
about how grateful I am for all the people I worked with. I'm pissed off, and you know what? It's okay to be angry. That is a natural reaction to this. They decided that they're better off without me. Right. And so I'm going to move on. They're going to move on. And that is okay. And I'm not going to reinvent myself. I kind of like who I am. I'm comfortable with the things that I've done and the career that I've had. Man, you've said it to me almost daily when I started working with you. You said, I can't believe you're still doing this.
Seriously, I know, but well, only because like 54-year-old guys don't do morning shows at the level that you did them, and you're not like, and what you're allowed to do. Like, it was 2-3 years ago. I'm like, oh, there's a radio station in Edmonton that's still doing a dwarf tossing event. That's fascinating.
We did we never did that. Please, you're gonna get me. I don't need those letters again,
dude. It's over. All the past is owned by death. You've got nothing to answer for.
I do worry about Grant and Jimmy. Those are the two people that I left behind that I'm very concerned about. And I hate to say that, but I hope they can pull it off.
Well, if I know Grant and Jimmy, they're survivors. If I know you, you're a survivor. Listen, there's a time and a season for everything. Not any decision anybody can make for your life can take away the success that you had, the human being that you are, the father that you are, the friend that you are. That's the important stuff.
Can you throw a husband in there just for my wife's sake?
Nope. Because I've met your wife. She does all the work. She's the person that holds that whole thing together, dude.
Thank God for my wife right now.
I know. No kidding. She's got a good gig. She's fucking terra firma. She's awesome. This is, again, you know, in these moments, and I want to encourage everybody to think like this. This is some stoicism. I'm going to throw it at you. You're going to like it. You're going to take it.
No, it's annoying, but
it is not annoying.
You need to do it.
In times like this, you get a real grateful appreciation for your wife, for the people that love you, for your friends.
Well, and the people around you, right, that support you.
Yeah, and that's the indicator of the person you are. Not some dude coming to grab you when you're off your show who has the collective radio experience of a 7-year-old. Not some guy that says you don't work into his plans, who has not been in radio for the last 20 years and used to be a club DJ. And it doesn't matter who that person is, where that person is, why that person is. It's not a guy at Bell who decides that Lisa LaFlamme, her hair was too gray.
I liked that hair.
I love it. I thought she looked awesome. It's not someone who comes up to you and says, hey, listen, I've got a bright idea and you're not in my bright idea. You're not in control of other people's bright ideas and their own excellence in their own mind and how they justify their jobs to other people. But it will affect you every time you put your future in somebody else's hands. So to Lachlan's point, get super, 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 super busy doing something for you, by you, that you can present to people and not give a shit about anything else. Nothing else matters other than the gift that you give yourself to give other people when it comes to the content that you do, right? You don't want anybody in between you and your content, not a radio company, not a TV company, not a print company, not an agency. You want to be able to give your agency to yourself all the time. The second you work for somebody else, you give them your agency. You start working to please them, please your audience, advocate on the side of your audience, create a community, and continue to serve that community with what you're passionate about. To Lachlan's point, he's in yoga. I've been trying to get him to do a yoga series for a long time. He's not a radio guy. He's the best version of himself today. And everybody else should be thinking like that too. That's what I wanted to say.
And I'm glad I got the box of dildos out of there.
Yeah. It's tough to replace, right? And when you go buy six dildos like in one sitting, people will ask questions.
It's like $500-$600.
They're $100 for a dildo.
I don't really want to talk about why I know so much about how much dildos cost.
Well, because you played musical dildos and you bought a lot of dildos for musical dildos on your radio show. That's why. You
know, yeah, they're that. Like $70, $80, $90 like
for a dildo?
The bigger ones. Yeah. For
the bigger ones. The ones with veins are more expensive.
And then we had to buy lube, right? Because we wanted them to be slippery when people went to grab for them.
Oh, those are the days, huh? Musical dildos and dwarf tossing. Game over.
Listen, we did. We never tossed, Jimmy.
You 100% did. Dude, there's going to be a time
I will
when
not
we're
admit
look
to
back.
That.
Radio stories are the best. Like back when you did. Oh, I remember we did this. And you're like, oh my God, I can't believe you did that. There were
and if we did, he agreed to it. And we put mattresses down.
It does.
People are going to miss the locker room. I'm telling you right now. Oh, and thank you. Thank you for all of the messages that we got. Like I've been bombarded with messages. So, okay. And can we do one more thing? Let's wrap up here.
Please.
This has been, I appreciate this. I don't think that this is something that I want to do again. Like let's move on.
We're not talking about it anymore.
Well, you'll bring it up that I've been fired like probably every
just for like 3 months. It's like I've got a rule.
3 months. Let me write
the
that
best
down.
Best way to help someone get fired, like who just got fired through the firing, is to continue to remind them that they're a free agent. They can do whatever they want, but in a way where it reminds them of getting fired.
Yeah. Right? So, hey, remember when you got fired?
Yeah, I do. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. You'll
that.
Do that for 3 months. All right. I'll start the clock.
Okay.
All right, thanks for this.
Yeah,
I appreciate it.
Always. You have a great day. By the way, I've only been fired twice, really once, because the second
twice
one was mutual. You've been fired twice. So, yeah, I've been fired once. You've been fired twice.
And the first time I got fired, I hung on to it and was bitter for about a year until my wife sat me down and said, you need to shake it off. You're doing better now. Why are you still bringing this up every
day?
Did
you play the Taylor Swift song?
That's why.
Shake it off?
No. I don't. Please don't. I want to be better. You talked about the better version of myself. I'm not going to do that to myself this time around. And I'm going to do my best to move on.
It's just a job.
Thank you.
There's millions of
them. Is that stoicism?
Yeah, basically. Oh, yeah, good. Basically changed your life and you don't even know it.
Look at Lachlan Marcus Aurelius is on your asses.
Lachlan Cross, you can find him on Twitter. Get a hold of him. If you are someone who appreciated what he did at the locker room, at Lachlan Cross on Twitter, you can find him on Facebook as well. And you can find him here at Cryer
Media. You want me to come to your bar or your event and play musical dildos? Let me know.
Yeah, he's good. He's good like that. $250 a night, cash, all cash, or e-transfer. And it doesn't matter. Let's just help feed Lachlan and save Lachlan. By the way, ladies and gentlemen, you can also get one of these slick shirts. He put this on Twitter last night, Locker Room Merch
Stupid
page.
Idea. Yeah. We sold like five as soon as they went
out. Yeah, here
up.
You go. Watch it.
I'm like,
the guy that runs my merch page thought this would be funny. It's up. It's a thing. I'll put the link below.
I'm like, no one's buying that. He's like, you'll be surprised. Oh, yeah. And then he calls me and goes, we sold five, you idiot.
Go get your Save Lachlan Cross shirt. Give him some beer money. Support this man. Let's support each other as life continues to change, especially when life changes. It has nothing to do with you. Great job, dude. Great career. Absolute pleasure.
Thank you.
Really, 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 really think about how proud you are of the career you've had. And then know that this
I don't extension. Need to think about it.
Good.
I am, man. Good, I am wildly proud of it.
Good.
Wildly. Good. Yeah.
Talk to you tomorrow.
With Alex.
Alex De Rebekov joins us tomorrow live from Ukraine. All right, buddy. Have a great day. Talk to you soon.
Thanks, man.
Lachlan Cross. There you go. There's an example of a guy who has continued to figure out life, right? No one's exempt from these things. No one's exempt from getting fired. Everybody loses a job. Sometimes you go bankrupt. Sometimes you don't. Sometimes you're wildly successful. But when someone else makes a decision that affects your life to that extent, you have to think back to when you give them agency, when you decide you want to work for somebody. And listen, everybody works for somebody. I'm not saying it's a bad thing. I'm really not. But we live in a time where people can do their own thing for themselves. And we live at a time when people tell you that, you grow up, you work for somebody else, hopefully you get a good pension, hopefully you make it to 65. Life is so short. I'm 51. I turned 51 this year. 51. 20s, you think you're going to live forever. 30s, you're like, everything that happened to me when I was 0 to 18 is catching up with me. 40s, you're like a collection of your 20s and 30s and super confused. 50s is where you calm down. It is. And that's where all the things that you've done in your life bring you to this perspective of what you can control and what you can't. And if you give your life, your agency to somebody else that can control you, you shouldn't be surprised when they do. You shouldn't. And I get it. It's easy for me to say that. But there were 7 years there that I battled to not have to do that with other people. I'm only in this position because I bet on myself, and I would encourage everybody to do that. Everybody. You see people that are successful. You see people that do these things that you're like, why are they so successful? I don't understand it. It's because they did the work. No one's exempt from doing the work. Nobody. Not you, not me, not anybody. It doesn't matter. 33 years in radio like Lachlan, 15 for me. You can be as incredibly successful as you want. You're not exempt from doing the work of getting into a new career or doing something else. So don't take your ego with you. Bet on you. Have a great day, everybody. Appreciate you being part of the show. Don't forget everything we do is at Cryer Media. Go to cryer.co for more details. You can get us at YouTube as well, Cryer Media on YouTube or Dean Blundell Show on YouTube. As always, brought to you by our friends and yours at factcheck.io, factcheck.io. This is fact-checking software, disinformation killers. You've got scientists, journalists, all kinds of people that have come together to say, all right, if they can sew a face that belongs to someone else onto someone else's head, you can probably figure out a way to track disinformation. And they've done it socially. They've done it, when it comes to the World Wide Web. They have figured out how to operate in that world of sentiment and intention. Not only do you get to figure out whether or not the sources that you're reading are real, they will also tell you where they came from, who wrote them, and how much money was spent on them. They'll tell you whether or not they were bots and trolls that gave it gas. They'll tell you whether it's organic or inorganic, and then they'll offer you other solutions so that you can actually be informed, and then you can turn around and you can share that information with the world so you can look super smart. Go to factcheck.io if you would like to join their beta testing team. You can do that now, factcheck.io, beta test their program, become part of their beta testing team. And you yourself could be a verified fact checker. Get in before everybody else does. Get real information so that you can share it with other people too. Go to factcheck.io for more details. Factcheck.io, factcheck.io. Do you believe? Also brought to you by CanTorque, makers of rugged, hardworking torque wrenches, the best in the business. CanTorque is every solution under one roof. You want to be a distributor of their world-changing products, you can do it. What is CanTorque? They make torque wrenches, bolting solutions for people that can't find them, heavy machinery, nuclear, railroad, forestry. Doesn't matter what they do. They have unparalleled expertise, and they're a one-stop shop, 20 years of experience for any bolting solution. CanTorque's top-of-the-line torque and tension tools, flange maintenance systems, impact sockets. You can rely on the highest quality products. They are brought in for heavy industry around the world, Dubai, UAE, the United States, Canada. Dude's in Australia. He builds torque wrenches for tunnel boring machines that nobody else can make. He's the best in the world and the best in the business. Go to Colin at CanTorque.com. Check out his new website, services, and products on his brand new website today. Again, CanTorque.com. Also brought to you by Muse on the Mic, the podcast. The Patreon version is greasy. You'll love it. Emily and Riley are the two hosts and owners of Muse Massage Spa. Go to MuseMassageSpa.com for more details. 1290 Finch Avenue West, Unit 13, Toronto men, Toronto women. If you're looking to play and you're looking for a safe experience, and if you're looking to go and have a lovely evening, this is the best body rub parlor on the planet. 1290 Finch Avenue West, $20 off 45 sessions. Now, here's the catch. They've also got a podcast because they like to entertain and educate their sexologists and advocates. Muse on the Mic, go and download it, subscribe on YouTube, subscribe on Patreon, and learn a thing or two about relationships, about playing, about sexual activity in a safe environment, about how to explore fantasies and kink and how to do it in a safe environment. They're advocates and they're yours. Go and download their podcast today, Muse on the Mic, anywhere you get your fine podcasts, including YouTube, Cryer Media, and of course, Patreon. And we're brought to you by Gitch, engineered for any level of performance as well as everyday life. Gitch underwear for men, boxer briefs, pouch in the front, top prospects. They come in blue, they come in purple, they come in red, they come in orange, and of course, camo black. I like to call black underwear camo, just in case. Anyway, Gitch3 is your promo code. Buy three, get one free. Again, Gitch3 at checkout, edsfineimports.com. Underwear made for any level of performance in everyday life. You can walk, run, or sprint through your day. Very soft, super soft, barely there fabric, moisture wicking. Premium underwear designed with your movement in mind. And, of course, that pouch in the front made for Canadians by Canadians. So the pouch is a little bigger. Fellas, you're welcome. It's like a push-up bra for your things. Go to Ed's Fine Imports today. Gitch3 is your promo code. He's got four packs and singles. When you order three or more, you'll get the fourth for free and 15% off. When you give him your email address, 15% off your entire purchase, receive exclusive access to arrivals, promotions, contest invites, and more. Again, Ed's Fine Imports, Gitch3, your promo code, get some underwear. Have a great day, everybody. Appreciate you being here. See you tomorrow with Alex from Ukraine. Bye-bye.
Hi, I'm Logan Anderson, host of the Say the Damn Score podcast. On my show, I deep dive into the sports broadcasting business by, you guessed it, talking to sportscasters. The show has featured big names like Bob Costas, Kenny Albert, and Vern Lundquist, as well as many up-and-coming broadcasters who you may not know yet, but you will know soon. Whether you're looking for professional development as a sportscaster, different career paths, or if you just want to be entertained by hearing some of the best storytellers in the world tell their own stories, this podcast is for you. You can subscribe to the podcast on all major podcast platforms, or you can visit our website, SayTheDamnScore.com.
Hi, I'm Mercedes Nickel, four-time Winter Olympian and host of Dropping In, a podcast with Mercedes. This is a podcast where I interview a bunch of different people. I get the good, the bad, and the ugly, as well as I share my stories along the way. Now you can drop in at droppingin.com or subscribe on Apple, Spotify, and YouTube. I'll see you soon.